You are listening to Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Today is December 15th. We are the 99%. We are the 47%. And today, we hold vigil with families across the world, both in China and in Connecticut. We are family, we are parents, and we are children. And we are so saddened for your loss. And we maintain vigil together. Today is a day for sports, folks, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get to it. Of course, I'm the scorekeeper, joined live from the Inland Empire of my compatriot, my buddy, my right hand, and I am right-handed. Of course, he is the big dog. How are you this morning, big dog?
Well, saddened just like everybody else is. Of course, we have to trudge along, and we'll try and make the best of it.
We will indeed. Good morning, Cuervo. He's in the chat room. You know, I don't have to invite you. You've got your invite. You can join us at any time, pal. If you want to share your thoughts at this time, by all means, this would be great. And we can just get on to it. It is difficult being our snide, snarky, and stuck up and irrespectful selves on a day like this. And my comment is, you're going to have to bear with us, because if you are listening to us, we want to thank you for that. I suppose it is our job to get away from those things, but we ourselves are affected by it. So we're going to do our best, respectfully and reverentially. We're going to do our best to take you away for a little while. It's going to be a bit difficult, but bear with us. Go ahead, big dog.
It's kind of hard, like you said. I don't know if you want to talk about that for a little bit, or did you want to go ahead and get into sports and just stay away from the subject, or how do you want to do it?
Whatever you would like to do, big dog. I'm ready to go. Cuervo himself says, I still can't get over what happened yesterday. I can't either. I think we need to get this out of our systems. So, like I say, I officially invite Cuervo again to join us. Big dog, let's just go ahead and take a few minutes. And, I said how I felt. And I'm serious. You saw my picture on Facebook yesterday, everyone. My wife doesn't do stuff like that, and she set up the candles. And I took the picture of it. She didn't mean for it to go on the internet, but I did. Because it's true. It's something that we all fear, and it's something that we all deep down thank that we weren't involved. But we are involved because we are a nation and we are people. And that's why I say that we hold vigil with those in China and those in Connecticut.
Yeah, we've all, our hearts go out to everyone. In fact, there's an article on ESPN saying that the sports world, they're rocked the same way all across the board, all across all sports. All the major stars and stuff took to their Twitter and Facebook and all the other social media accounts and just giving their thoughts and prayers to the families that were affected by all this. In fact, they were talking about Cleveland coach Byron Scott, that he was talking about the tragedy. And, he was overcome by emotion a few times where he had actually stopped the interview and recompose himself. And that seems to be the thing across the board. I mean, for all coaches and players that even talk about it, I mean, almost all these players, professionals, I mean, almost everyone has children. And just the thought of someone doing that, you know, going to the school and doing that in an elementary school. I mean, it's no one could even think about something like that. That isn't something you would think is thought about, at least not on the elementary school level. I mean, yes, things happen at the high school level, you know, in college, and sometimes even the junior high level, but you never usually think about something like this happening at a elementary school.
No, you don't. As a matter of fact, I want to welcome Brian in the chat room. As always, you guys have the invite. I'm sure we may come back to this as we go along, but I appreciate that, big dog, and we're just going to get to it. Ladies and gentlemen, we are Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We wake you up, and then, of course, the couch potato brings it home. The four-hour block is back, ladies and gentlemen. It's right here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you haven't seen it tonight, he's already featured, the couch potato, 8 p.m. Pacific time. We're going to be covering the Pacific Bowl. So really, really good stuff. So we'll begin to that. Big Dog, I want to go ahead because I've been doing a lot of research lately, and I know you're probably not prepared to go right into it, but congratulations on your Lakers. They won, but your boy, Howard, apparently seems to know where he's going to be playing next year. Did you catch that there, Big Dog?
That I have not caught. And where is he going to be playing next year?
Well, that's exactly it. That's exactly what he said. He said, I know where I'm going to be playing. That's all. That's all he said.
Oh, yeah, purple and gold, no problem.
I'm sorry, what's that?
I said purple and gold, no problem.
Yeah, probably so. Probably so.
He loves
it. Oh, I just had my first cup of Joe, big dog.
It's no secret that he loved LA before he signed with LA. He may have wanted to go to New York for the same reason. I think he just loves the limelight. He loves the fact to be in the limelight in a media hub. And of course, if you can't be in New York, then you want to be in LA. I mean, LA is the number two media place in the United States. So he just loves it. Yes, the Lakers are struggling right now. I'm not going to lie. The panic button's at about a 6 right now. But as we talked about, when you're missing 2/5 of your starting five and your backup point guard is out, I mean, you're going to struggle. I mean, even everybody's going to struggle. So you're going to have to just wait through it. Unfortunately, it's not good right now, and everything's bleeding from everywhere, so to speak. And hopefully, when the two stars get back, and talk is Steve Nash will be back hopefully within the week, is what they're saying, and probably Pau Gasol about the same. As I had said, when they said he was going out day to day, I said he would be out at least 7 games, at least 10 days most likely, because when you have tendonitis in the knees, there is no 1-day, 2-day rest. Tendonitis is just rest, period, and you need a rest for at least a week to 14 days for it to have any positive effect on your knees. So hopefully the guys will be back soon and we'll get back to the winning ways that we're used to, because I am not used to losing.
No, we're not. And same thing with the Yankees. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome all of our guests in the chat room. Once again, we have quite a few people in there. Don't forget, you guys want to give us a call. The number is 347-637-2306. Don't forget to find us on Facebook, Sports Talk with the Guys, as well as nddmedia.net. Twitter.com/NDB Media. And I'm going to give the Twitter feed for our sports program, which we've had forever. We just haven't used. We have followers there. And I just haven't gotten to it. Big Dog, my final thought on the Lakers. Actually, I may have one more. But my final thought is, who in the heck is Delonte West? And why are they talking about having him sign? What's up with that?
Delonte West is kind of a spark off the bench. He's had his problems, yes. He was just released. I believe it was – oh, jeez, I can't even remember who released him.
Dallas?
He has some problems off the field. His problems are always off the court. And just kind of just like Matt Barnes had problems, and the Lakers took him in, and he was a spark for the Lakers and kept his nose clean, so to speak, not getting any problems. They feel Delonte West will be the same way. They need that spark. They need the scoring off the bench. Right now, Antoine Jameson is actually doing pretty decently. It's not coming in and day out, but they're looking for an offensive spark that's coming at a cheap price, and that would be he would come very cheaply. He would come at the veteran's minimum. So it's a lot of talk, but I think it's just conjecture for it right now. I think everybody's just trying to do a quick fix, and it's just not going to happen until we get our stars back.
All right. Well, I appreciate that, Big Dog.
Yes, Purple. It is Boston. Thank you, Purple.
Oh, it was Boston? Oh, I'm sorry. He had the picture of Dallas on him, but okay. Did you know that on this day in sports history?
He's played on like 9 different teams.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Did you know that on this day in sports history, the NHL's first exhibition game was played 4 days before the start of the regular season? The Montreal Canadiens and the Montreal Wanderers played a benefit game for victims of the Halifax explosion, which had occurred 10 days earlier. Yep. And in another note, in 1966, the New Orleans Saints became the 16th NFL franchise. Wow. And if you want another one, the San Francisco 49ers in 1997 retired Joe Montana's number 16 during a halftime game against the Denver Broncos.
Very well deserved. Possibly one of the, if not the greatest quarterback, at least in the top three, I think, quarterbacks of all time.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Yeah. Yes, he is. And he is in the Hall of Fame.
Okay, I just wanted to make certain there, Big Dog.
He was a first-year Hall of Famer, first-time Hall of Famer in the very first round of his eligibility.
Wow! You'd be bomb there, Big Dog. Hey, getting into some baseball news, as Big Dog doesn't have any more basketball, apparently it's official. Ichiro Suzuki signed a 2-year deal with the Yankees, and the little troublemaker, depends on who you believe, whether it be Valentine or whether it be the guy that was karate chopped by Nolan Ryan, you know, you're getting Two-Face from Batman. You really don't know, but Euculus is now a Yankee, and Yankee fans are pissed. They make it seem like there's never been a Boston player to ever come over. There have been 7 from the world champion 2004 Red Sox to come over to the Yankees. So get over it, people. So, but I think there was another signing in, I don't know. Oh, yeah, I think the Dodgers made it official that they signed the pitcher Greinke and they signed the guy from South Korea. I don't know what the hell his name is. Go ahead and make it up. And, I don't know. Was there another signing out there, Big Dog, on the East Coast or West Coast?
On the West Coast, there was a little bit of a signing. And, of course, the Dodger you're talking about is lefty Hyun-Jin Ryu. That's where the Dodgers signed. Along with Zach Greinke. And there was just a little bit of a signing. And to me, actually, I was extremely shocked by this one. I did not expect the Angels to do this. I thought they had spent enough money last year, and the fact that, and his name escapes me now. help me out, scorekeeper. Who did they sign last year?
C.J. Wilson, the pitcher, and that first baseman from St. Louis. Prince Albert Pujols.
Pujols didn't. I mean, he had decent numbers. It wasn't the mega star numbers that they were hoping for, and he had an extremely slow start, and they've been spending money like crazy. So I did not expect the Angels to do this, but they signed, of course, probably the most coveted free agent this year. The two were, of course, Greinke and Hamilton. Josh Hamilton, formerly of the Texas Rangers. Of course, the Dodgers got Greinke, and I guess the Angels did not want to be outdone. And Josh Hamilton is now headed to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim of Chavez Ravine.
Yeah.
It was a 5-year deal worth over $125 million for 5 years. So about $25 million a year is what they'll be making. I think it's a lot. I have a lot of problems with this signing, mainly because of his off-the-field problems that he's had with drugs and alcohol, and the fact that he pretty much falls off the wagon every year and then apologizes and then tries to start fresh again. The fact that he was doing that in Texas, which is a very rural area that he was living in, not all the lights and hoopla that you have here in New York, in New York or L.A., and Anaheim is just a stone's throw from Los Angeles, downtown L.A., I'm really worried about the fact whether he's going to be able to stay on the straight and narrow here in the Los Angeles area. So that could be a big problem. And, you know, where are they going to put him? I mean, they're already he's of course going to be in the outfield. He'll be a starter. But, man, the Angels have an abundance of outfielders right now, so we'll see what's going to happen. Scorekeeper, what was your feeling on this?
Well, it looks like there's a pitcher available that they're going to go after, and they're going to get rid of not Trout, but I believe it's Bourne. Do you guys have an outfielder by that name?
Let me check. I'll check the roster right now as you're talking. Go ahead. Keep going.
Okay, it looks like they have an extra guy out there, and Hamilton's going to play in the corners. That's what they're looking at, because you've got some kid by the name of Stallman, Catfish, I don't know, some guy out there. And, you know, he's going to be playing center field. So Hamilton, who can easily play center field, will not. He's going to be playing the corner. It'll be less on him. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Cuervo. I think it's Trumbo. Yeah, or Trout or whatever.
Yeah, Trumbo. Trumbo's the left fielder. Trout's the center fielder.
Yeah, who's your right fielder? Because he's gone. He went somewhere. Like, thank God.
Yeah, that was Vernon Wells, right?
No, you're stuck with the $25 million a year guy. No, that was that other guy, the one that called all Caribbean.
Your favorite outfielder. Yeah, I forgot, yeah.
Yeah, he called them fakes or whatever, or impersonators or whatever.
Well, there is no right fielder right now listed, so I guess that's where Hamilton would go in right.
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny. You know who I'm talking about. It's Hunter.
Yeah,
he's the one that said that his friends asked him, so is Vladimir Black? Yeah, like all my friends ask, are they Hispanic, are they white, whatever. You know, just goes to show you. That's why I dislike the guy. His cover-up was that his friends are always asking him, so is so-and-so this, so-and-so that? Who the hell cares? You know, it's okay, Hunter. We know you're a punk. Thank God you're gone to Detroit. You should fit in real well over there. All right. It's okay, dude. Go spend your money over there in D-Town. So that's all right.
You know, if they're thinking about dealing Trumbo, I mean, Trumbo had a pretty decent season, though.
Yeah, I forget which pitcher that they're going to look to go after, but they can get some good pitching now, and that's what they're going to need, because they've lost lot of pitchers, dude.
This was Trumbo's line for this past year. He batted .268 with 32 homers, 95 RBIs, and an on-base percentage of 31.7.
Woohoo!
So, I mean, his batting may not have been there, but, I mean, at least, I mean, the other numbers are pretty decent.
Big dog. He was just short of .270, and unbelievably, you know, he had 32 home runs and a lot of RBIs. The guy did just fine.
Yeah. And, you know, and
but
he only
Trout's
has
your
experience,
boy.
Experience, so.
I'm sorry?
He's only a two-year guy, so, I mean, he's still relatively young. And, I guess if they're going to trade him, I mean, they do have an abundance of him. You're right, they're not going to get rid of Vernon Wells. I mean, no one's going to take that contract, so they are stuck with him.
Yeah, well, you never know. They might give Trumbo and Wells to get a good pitcher. That's a possibility. You never know. People are stupid out there, big dog. That's why they call them Major League General Managers. Generally moronic.
Yeah. Well, let's see. So we have C.J. Wilson and Jared Weaver. And
pray for rain.
Huh?
Yeah, C.J. Wilson and Jared Weaver and pray for rain.
Yeah. Well, there's Joe Blanton, don't forget, also.
Oh, that's right. Thanks, Cuervo. Yes, R.A. Dickey. For some reason, it blocks it out on Blog Talk Radio. Yeah.
I wonder why.
Yeah, his name is R.A. Dickey, and blocks it out. So, yeah, I understand that that's who they're talking about, getting rid of one of their outfielders. And that is a lot of talk going on. And, it's actually, for once, the rumor reveal actually seems logical, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, I was reading that also, that Dickey's on the trading block. We talked about this on Tanya's Five Tools show, you know, whether to trade him or not to trade him. He is older, though. I mean, he's 38, or he's going to be 39 when the season starts?
Yeah, I think this is one of those times where his number is actually older than him for once. Yeah, he's 38.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Check what his number is.
It says Dickey is seeking an additional two years for $26 million to $28 million. So he wants $13 to $14 million contract a year. It says the Mets have countered with a two-year contract and $20 million, so $10 million a year. So.
Yeah, I mean, ladies and gentlemen, let's get over it. This guy's 38, his number's 43, he had his career year. It will not happen again.
I don't know.
Yeah, and Ryan Dempster, of course, went to Boston. Thanks for that, Cuervo, yes. Yeah, but that's kind of like Laker fan talking about Memphis. You know, that's why I really don't mention Boston.
Well, Memphis actually is a good team now. Now you would say the Charlotte Bobcats.
Oh, yeah, well, whatever. Yeah, exactly. Look, you know what? Look, your Angels can hit, dude. There's no doubt about it. If they can get some pitching again, the Angels are awesome. But will Hamilton remain healthy? That's the question. But I think he has enough in his bat, enough in his ability, that if he gets anywhere near what he did last year with Texas, the Angels will be very well off, let me tell you.
Yeah, no kidding. That's going to be a monster middle of the lineup where you know with Pujols and Hamilton and whoever else you are. I mean, just those two alone, you're going to have an explosive lineup. Hopefully the runs will come in, and hopefully the Angels will not start off the way they started off last year, where they had to pretty much dig their way out of the hole that they dug themselves in and didn't quite make it.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. With the Angels, they have a high average on-base power team. That's why the Angels all of a sudden are actually a good team and why they're dangerous. Unlike the Yankees are playing three-run home run baseball, and they will destroy the entire league. But when you start getting to the playoffs, we've seen what happens to this all-or-nothing team. So until they start getting their act together, and that's going to be a hard thing to get around, is because the Bronx Bombers are, in fact, the Bronx Bombers, but they're all or nothing. They just have to change that whole makeup, whereas the Angels, they have a balanced attack, dude. Balanced, let me tell you.
Yes, they do. See if I can find something real quick.
It's okay, big dog. Just unbuckle your belt. It's there. I know it's small, but you're okay. Oh, my God. When we were doing the lingerie thing yesterday, we were doing the pregame show. I couldn't believe the Cap Potato said it, and I was shocked. He's, okay, Raj, so are you going to hit it or am I? He was talking about the stats. I'm like, I'm sorry, Sonny. Do you wish to clarify that, please? Because as far as I'm concerned, the answer is yes. Couldn't believe it. That was kind of funny. Hey, Brian, are you asleep over there? Cuervo wants to know.
I see your Yankees weren't hit too hard with the luxury tax this past year, as the Yankees will be paying just under $19 million in luxury tax. For the 10th consecutive year, they'll pay a penalty. Of course, you guys finished with the highest payroll, though, $223 million. That part is not surprising. I think you guys have been number one in payroll now for how many decades?
Yes, exactly. Well, at least we've been the
you know, the leader for like forever. I think we were beaten 1 year for a little while, but that's been about it. But that's no more, Big Dog. The Yankees are no longer the Yankees. It looks like the Dodgers are now the Yankees. Good luck, idiots, because they're just spending way too much money. Even the Yankees had to learn the hard way what it is to have money. That's called the 1980s, pal. It's going to be a long time before they get it right.
Now, of course, with the signing of Greinke and that Korean pitcher, the Dodgers have released a statement saying that they are not spending money frivolously just to spend it, that these are actually very good acquisitions and an investment to their future is what they're saying.
$268 million from Boston. Yeah, pal. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. I don't know how he gave that interview with a straight face, but evidently he did. It says that, looking at that tax thing here, it says look at the Dodgers, it says with their acquisitions and such, the Dodgers are at $208 million for only 21 signed players.
Uh-huh.
And that you guys are at, right now, $182 million for 14 players. And that that includes the deal with Ichiro.
Yeah. It's going to be entertaining there, Big Dog. The Yankees are much better off because they're tightening their belt. I still prefer to be the Yankees than anyone else, guys. That's just, you know, Cashman has got to go. Remember what I've been telling you? He's the luckiest guy in the world. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
He's made some good deals, but he has been luckier than most. And everyone thinks he's a genius. He's not a genius. He had more money. Man.
Yeah, that always makes you look good when the ownership has all the money that they need and they just want to spend, you know. You go up to the guy and, hey, I need, you know, a $100 million contract for, you know, such and such. And, you know, they, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I remember them reading about the Yankee team meetings back in Tampa when they were going to sign Roger Clemens or make the deal or whatever for David Wells. And they said when they sat down to meet and, you know, have lunch, it took them longer to fight over lunch than it did whether they were going to sign him or not or make the deal.
I can see that one.
Yeah, that's the difference between having money and being the Oakland Athletics. Which I finally saw that movie, Big Dog, Little Ball or whatever.
Moneyball? You had never seen Moneyball?
I had not seen Moneyball until about 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks or 4 weeks.
Oh, what did you think?
The movie did not get all of it right.
Well, I'm pretty sure, yeah, that they took a lot of advantages to that, just for the sake of the movie itself.
But don't get me wrong.
What was the most glaring omission or addition that you saw that shocked you or surprised you?
Well, actually, I don't know if anything surprised me. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed taking a look at the team meetings and how they played that stuff out. It was okay. I was a bit surprised by Billy Bean. I didn't know he did some of the stuff that he did. But and his interaction with his team. It was interesting. What really surprised me was, you see, there were some other things. Their whole issue was, we've got to find another way. And even though the movie was based on that, there was just something missing. I made a note of it. I'm going to have to find it just so I can bring it up. And, you know, hey, it's just, it was a subtle scene. They glossed over it a little bit, and I didn't really care for it, but hey, it is what it is. And oh my God, as we enter the second quarter here on Sports Talk with the Guys, he's there, he's in the chat room, he is a couch potato, he's up and well and alive and awake. Woohoo! Oh, so there it is.
Yeah.
He left a message. Well, we'll see, or maybe Cuervo will see, but let me see, did we even program the episode? I got to check that out. So we'll see
you right now. I may have to program the episode right now, so we'll see. Oh, yeah, it's not programmed.
I will have to program it. So, Big Dog, why don't you go ahead and take the lead on this, and I'm going to take about a minute to get what I have to get done.
All right. Well, what I wanted to cover just real quick is the new news on the hockey. It looks like the National Hockey League Players Association is going to try and break up the union. But before that happened, the NHL got word of it, and they fired back. It said, upon learning that the NHL Players Association Executive Board voted Thursday night to potentially dissolve the union, the NHL fired a class action complaint in federal court as well as unfair labor practice charge with the National Labor Relations Board. It says a source confirmed that the union's executive board voted unanimously Thursday night to authorize a vote among union membership that would determine if the executive board could vote to whether to file a disclaimer of interest. Now, it says a disclaimer of interest is a quicker, less formal way of dissolving the union as opposed to decertification, which could take months. It says, although that this does not mean the vote necessarily will take place, it provides the players the option to gauge whether the membership feels they need to vote to dissolve the union or not. It says the vote is expected to take place in the near future. It says, in the U.S., antitrust lawsuits prohibit owners from locking out employees who don't belong to a union, with the punishment of triple the wages lost during the lockout. As long as the NHL players continue to negotiate under Executive Director Donald Fuhr as part of the NHLPA, they do not receive that protection. It says, but if they're no longer a union through decertification, those charges, the dynamics of the entire lockout, and that changes the entire dynamics of the lockout, then they can file an antitrust lawsuit targeting the wallets of the owners. You know, and in all this, guys, no one is saying anything about when the season is going to start. So it looks like, as if I remember correctly, either late last week or early this week, they canceled all games through the end of this year and I believe the first 2 weeks of January. So the way that things look right now and the way that no one is negotiating whatsoever, we're pretty much lost the NHL season again. Which just happened about, 12 years ago. So it looks like another season is gone. So, you know, this is disheartening to all the hockey fans. I'm a casual hockey fan, but I do enjoy watching the game. And the fact that it's not there, you know, even myself is bothering me. I'm not sure if Couch Potato or Cuervo or Brian or even Scorekeeper are big hockey fans, but you know, hockey is starting to come around. You know, the fact that here in L.A. it's coming back again, which was great. You know, we haven't had a lot of success up until just a year or two ago with the Kings, you know, ever since Gretzky retired from the league years ago. And hockey is starting to make a resurgence here in Los Angeles, and they have the fact that they won the title. They won the Lord Stanley Cup. And now, well, I mean, it's a good thing. They're champions for 2 years without having to defend it. But the fact that there's no hockey that is going to hurt for the casual fan that maybe would have taken interest in hockey this year after the Kings won or, you know, their team maybe did well in the playoffs and may want to see more games, and that's just not going to happen. Scorekeeper, I was wondering if you have any comments on that or if are you still programming?
No, I'm listening to you, Big Dog. I can do three things at one time. One of them was listening to you, the other one was programming, and the other one was, chewing gum.
Oh, I thought maybe you were speaking to the inside source.
You bastard. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh.
Big Dog, look, I got to tell you, I'm really disappointed that they're not going to settle this. But, hey, I think it's great. They're doing the right thing. They're following the law. And the NHL players need to do that because this screws the league, the NHL. And, hey, you want to play hardball? Well, we have a way of doing it, too. So that's good for the players. So, look, if they can't resolve their issues, hey, that's the way it is. You know, it's funny how the NHL is trying to destroy the league are trying to destroy the union, and when the union decides to destroy itself, they're like, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. You can't do that. I'm like, come on. One way or another.
Yeah, you know, yeah, that's true. But like I said, I mean, there's not even any negotiations going on right now. Everybody's, you know, they need to at least get to the table before they're even deciding to dissolve the union, not dissolve the union, whatever. I mean, yes, they want to pocket the I mean, they want to target the pocketbooks of the owners. I understand that and try and get triple the amount of the pay. But what's that going to do? I mean, okay, you win that. You still can't play. I mean, it doesn't
actually solve anything. You will play because otherwise they own three times the salary to every player. That becomes, I mean, if they're taking losses right now, big dog, that means they're going to take losses on everything. And remember, that's with the money coming in and the sales, and you're playing players. Now you're just going to have to pay players with no income coming in? That's going to hurt, big dog. That's why the NHL flipped out. I say break it up, the union for that, and then have the vote to restart the union. There's so many things that you guys can do, and I like it. I'm Shop Steward. I like it.
And the fact that the players' union doesn't want to go for a 50-50 split doesn't bother you? I mean, to me, that's fair, 50-50. They want 56%? I mean, why not negotiate at least? I mean, the last negotiation lasted all of, I think, 45 minutes, if that, because they said they would not take less than 56% or 54%, I forgot what it was, and the union right off the bat offered a 50-50 split, and they said no. I mean, the owners offered a 50-50 split.
Yeah. Hey, if that's what they want to do, big dog. But, I mean, look, big dog, it's not as easy as that. There's other stuff that they have to do, but, I mean, look, if, in fact, I mean, look, the league can cancel the games, if I'm not mistaken, and get around that three times the rule thing, but there are some other things where they cannot get certain types of income as well. There's a lot of things that they can't do. So, I mean, that's kind of like the nuclear option. But, you know, there's more to it, big dog. The rules are very complex, but this is the next move that they need to do, and they should do it.
Okay.
Hey, Peter, or Big Dog, sorry. If the players want to self-destruct the league, well, then good for them. Look at what happened at Pillsbury, at the Twinkie manufacturer. You know, the owners took that company down to crap, and they tried to resolve it over the backs of the workers, and one union didn't want to make the deal, so they brought the company down. Look at what's going to happen. There were five unions there, and one of them just wanted to be anal. And what happened? Now they all lost their jobs. See what I'm saying?
True. Yeah.
So, we'll see. Of course, Cast Potatoes in the chat room. And, of course, Tim is slamming me on the Ichiro Suzuki signing, which I'm happy about. It's all good. But, hey, it is. It's okay. I'm happy with it. How about you, big dog?
What did you feel about Mr. Anibal Sanchez re-signing with the Tigers for a 5-year, $80 million deal?
That's the going rate for that type of guy. That's why I said I'd rather be lucky than good. His numbers, big dog, are pedestrian at best. I mean,
yes, he is he is 48-51 with a 3.75 career ERA for the Tigers and the Miami Marlins.
I mean, I remember that those used to be numbers for the fourth or fifth starter on pitching staff.
Yeah, exactly. those were the LA Dodgers Charlie Huff numbers.
Well, okay, I'll grant you some of that. But yes, you are so true. It's just unbelievable. What they're doing with some of this stuff. But, hey, you know what? The guy lucked out. Good for him. Merry Christmas. Get the hell out of here, dude.
Yeah, no kidding. Merry Christmas. Christmas came early for him. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Guys, we ignore Torii Hunter. I already slammed him early this morning anyway. But, don't let the door hit you on the way out. He talked about how Moreno said they didn't have money and said goodbye, Torrey Hunter, and all of a sudden shell out $125 million. And he even said, well, I'm just kidding, wink, wink. Said, well, maybe because they thought you were phony as well, Torrey Hunter, and they just didn't want you. They didn't have money for guys like you that are getting old and just yip, yip, yip. Did you think that insulting Latin players would keep you on the team, dude? Come on, Hunter. Everyone calls you smart. I call you stupid. Go to Detroit. Go play with yourself. Oh, my goodness.
How do you really feel?
He's dumb.
Tim says, for Tori to please dial 1-800-WAH.
Exactly. Hey, Big Dog,
yeah,
I will grant you that. The numbers for Charlie Huff were that way, and when he was with Texas.
Told you. I used to remember when they needed him a reliever, and, you know, Lasorda would go to the pen, and here comes Charlie Huff. I'm like, oh, God, we're going to lose the game. And sure enough, we lost the game.
Oh, that was in 1977 when he was 6-12 with 22 saves.
I don't even know how he got those 22 saves.
Yeah, well, he pitched 127 innings, walked 7, he struck out 105 and gave up 98 hits. Wow! That's a 1.32 whip. That's that bad.
Well, see, they didn't have whip back then, so.
Well, I mean, but it's easy to figure out, Big Dog. His career whip is 1.30. He has 216 wins and 216 losses.
Woo-hoo, he's a 500.
Yeah, but he did pitch 3,801 innings, and he only gave up 3,283. That's not bad because he spent all the other time walking everyone.
Yeah. That knuckleball of his. He was a knuckleballer, was he not, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, Charlie Huff. He was the knuckleball. Because there was Bert Hooten was the knuckle curve.
Yes. Oh, yeah, Bert Hooten. Well, boy, we're going back to some old Dodgers now.
Yeah, I know. I was going to look up Hooten's numbers as well, but that's all good. We've been covering a lot of baseball. I know the big dog is real happy about this. Oh, hey, by the way, Big Dog, I was describing to everyone on Tuesday or earlier why I named you the Big Dog. Do you know why I named you the Big Dog?
Because I'm fat.
It's from The Fugitive, because
I know.
Yes, where the the marshal always says don't mess with the big dog, and then when he's right, time after time after time, they're like yes, big dog. That's where I got it from, The Fugitive. That's why I call you the big dog, because you're the enforcer. You're the one that keeps everything in order.
Oh please.
Oh. There it is. I was telling the couch potato. Oh, you see, I thought it was on air. Every time I talk to someone, I'm like, was that on air? Oh, on F Off Friday. That's right. That was fun, couch.
Did you want to go over the bowl games, Scorekeeper, while we're here early and have the college crowd in the chat room?
Oh, we have the youngins in? Okay, go ahead.
All right. Well, of course, today there are, looks like, two bowl games today. You have the, we're going to go through all of them. I don't know if you want to give any predictions or if you just want me to go who's playing and where they're playing at.
Well, what we're going to do is go over the games very quickly, and if Brian wants to comment on the bowl games, just give like a 1 second pause or something. You know, do what the big dog does, and then we'll go. But Brian is live. I didn't even wait. I just saw the number and said, oh, hey, Brian, you know.
What's going on, guys?
How's it going, Brian?
Oh, good. It's a cold morning in Atlanta, Georgia today.
How cold is it, Brian?
It's not really cold. It's probably about 42 degrees. That's not cold.
Well, that's a little colder than us. Where are we at, Big Dog?
I'm over here in the Empire. I'm at 45, and of course that's like panic winter weather for the California people here.
Okay. Well, it's really it's 50 here right now. I'm sorry. It was the low last night was in the 30s, so it's warmed up rather quickly.
Well, the Star Trek fans are going to get excited over the report that I'm going to post right now because it's 47 degrees, ladies and gentlemen, in Southgate. And that's going to go on the internet because it's going to go on the internet.
Okay.
Star Trek fans go wild over 47. You guys know that.
Sure.
Oh.
Go ahead, Big Dog. Let's go over the bowl games.
Oh, and I'm sorry to say, once again, scorekeeper, there is no Gaylord Bowl.
Brian doesn't know that story, does he?
No.
What's that?
It was 2 years ago. We were going over the bowl games, and all of a sudden, because the Big Dog, he's funny. He has a great sense of humor. He's very low-key, and he'll stick one in there when you're least expected. And all of a sudden, he was talking about this game, and it was the Gaylord Bowl. And I think he was on the – were you in front of me, or were you on the phone, Big Dog?
I was in front of you, and you did not believe me whatsoever.
I said, liar, there's no Gaylord Bowl. Stop it. Well,
there is
a Gaylord Bowl, right, Brian?
There was.
Yeah, why did they change the name?
Gaylord, I don't know. Think about it.
Okay, I thought about it. Let's go on.
All right. There's going to be two games today. It'll be the Gildan New Mexico Bowl on ESPN. It'll be Nevada versus Arizona. And
that's
the other
game
will be...
That's an interesting game. There's going to be probably 500 points scored in it since neither team knows how to play defense.
That's true. They both have 7-5 records. I mean, I'm surprised they even made it. And in the other game today, also on ESPN, will be the famous Idaho Potato Bowl, which is Toledo 9-3 versus Utah State 10-2.
Sorry, Big Dog. Check the chat room because I believe Cash Potato put Arizona for that one.
Oh yeah. Couch did say Arizona. I guess he's picking Arizona on that one.
That game is big. Way to go, Tim. All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. Next one, of course. Very good, Tim. Happy. As I said, it was Toledo versus Utah. Those are the only two games today. Then, of course, then it jumps to the... Oh, these are out of order. Wonderful. Okay. Then it goes to the San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl. That's on December 20th on ESPN. It will be BYU versus San Diego State University.
BYU.
San Diego State.
Next up will be December 21st, the Beef O'Grady's Bowl in St. Petersburg, Florida. It will be Central Florida versus Ball State.
Ball State. Look at the initials, BS. That's why I chose it as a vote, too.
December 22nd is the next one. We got two of them. It will be the R&L Carriers New Orleans Bowl, which will be East Carolina, 8-4 versus Lafayette, 8-4 also.
Well, Lafayette has a distinguished history in the American Revolutionary War. I just didn't think that there was a place called East Carolina. That's kind of like saying East Southern California, so whatever. I'll take East Carolina.
LA.
Oh, no, I'll take Lafayette.
All right. Next up will be the Mako Bowl in Las Vegas. Washington, who is 7-5, versus Boise State, 10-2. And it will be Christmas Eve. Will be the Sheraton Hawaii Bowl. Fresno State, 9-3, versus SMU, 6-6.
Yeah, whatever.
After that will be the Little Caesars Bowl. on ESPN. It'll be West Kentucky 7-5 versus Central Michigan 6-6. That'll be on December 26th.
Which one do you go for, Brian?
The game against, sorry.
I know, like it matters.
The Little Caesars Bowl, West Kentucky 7-5 versus Central Michigan 6-6.
I'll go with Western Kentucky. They just lost their coach. They'll be playing with a little more passion.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll take Central Michigan.
All right. December 27th, we have three bowl games. The first one will be the Military Bowl, presented by Northrop Gunnum. It will be San Jose State 10-2 versus BGU 8-4. Next up would be the Belk Bowl.
What?
Would be that's what it says, the Belk Bowl. Cincy 9-3 versus Duke 6-6.
I'll take Duke.
Well, Cincy's got the much better record, but okay. Could go
well,
for
I
the upset on that one.
You know, I figured he was going to take Cincy. That's why I went with Duke.
Okay. Next up is the Bridgeport Education Holiday Bowl. Also on December 27th, this is Baylor 7-5 versus UCLA 9-4. Right.
Oh.
How about that one?
I'm taking UCLA.
So am I.
I'm taking Baylor in that game.
Oh, okay.
What a shock.
Yeah. Too much offense for Baylor.
You see, he's right. I'm going with UCLA.
All right, next up is December 28th. Three more bowl games. The AvCare V100 Independence Bowl. Ohio 8-4 versus UL Monroe 8-4.
Don't care.
Okay. Next up is the Russell Athletic Bowl. Rutgers 9-3 versus Virginia Tech 6-6.
Rutgers!
Yeah, I like Rutgers.
Oh. All
right. Next up is the Menike Car Care Bowl of Texas. Minnesota 6-6 versus Texas Tech 7-5.
Texas Tech. You know about the queers and steers.
Hey, guys, speaking of Texas Tech, did you hear what Tommy Tuberville, the ex-coach, did?
No. What happened?
Well, he left. He went to Cincinnati, actually, but he was at dinner with some Texas Tech recruits that came in to visit, some high school recruits, and he took a phone call during dinner and left, never came back, told them bye or anything. He took another job just on that phone call.
Oh, wow.
That's the funniest thing I've
bill?
Ever heard. I think the running back coach did.
Oh, my God.
No, actually, I think the players have to pay for their own dinner, actually.
Yes,
I believe so. Yeah, but still, I mean, you know, the head coach is there, and then he's gone in 1 minute. That's probably the Tommy Tuberville. If you knew who he was, if you've heard his history, you would know that this is not surprising at all.
Well, I did not know that. That's bad. But all right, whatever.
All righty. Next up is December 29th bowls. There are Corky Bowl. Like there are a plethora of bowl games on the 29th. There are five bowl games. Starting off with the Bell Helicopter Armed Forces Bowl. Rice 6-6 versus the Air Force 6-6.
Go with Air Force.
All right.
Fine. I'll go with Air Force.
And of course, this is the scorekeeper's favorite. This is the New Era Pinstripe Bowl, of course, held in Yankee Stadium. This is West Virginia 7-5 versus Syracuse, also 7-5.
Okay, I'm going with Syracuse because I cannot go for the Hillbillies. Just never. Uh-uh. No way. Uh-uh. Never.
I'm going with the Hillbillies in this one.
Yeah, there it is. All right, I want to welcome everyone in the chat room, of course. We have Tim McLeod, the Couch Potato, Senior Cuervo, Matt Alvarez, of course, Laker fan, and BB Sports Talk. You guys know what to do, 347-637-2306. We're finishing up the review of the upcoming bowl games. Go ahead, Big Dog.
All right, and we have the Kraft 500 Bowl, Navy 7-4 versus Arizona State 7-5.
I have nothing on that one, Big Dog.
Arizona State.
Okay. Next up is the Valero Alamo Bowl. Texas 8-4 versus Oregon State 9-3.
Oregon State.
Okay. Yeah, same thing.
All right. The Buffalo Wild Wings Bowl is TCU 7-5. Versus Michigan State 6-6.
The Horny Frog.
Yeah, I'll go with Brian.
Okay. Next up is the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. NC State 7-5 versus Vanderbilt 8-4.
Oh, Vanderbilt.
Yeah, Vanderbilt.
Okay, and by the way, that is on the 31st of New Year's Eve. These are all, I got three more on New Year's Eve. This is the Hyundai Sun Bowl, USC at 7-5 versus Georgia Tech, 6-7.
USC.
USC.
Yep.
Yeah, now wait a minute. Brian, why is a 6-7 team in the bowl game?
Well, they made it to the conference championship at 6-6 and lost. So they got a waiver from the NCAA saying it was okay to play in a bowl game.
Wow!
Oh my goodness!
UCLA last year. I think Oregon UCLA played last year. UCLA was 6-6 and lost. They still made a bowl.
Wow! All right. Well, I guess if they're letting kids, everyone bats in T-ball games, I guess they're letting them do the same thing and. In bowl games now.
All right, next up is the AutoZone Liberty Bowl. Iowa State at 6-6 versus Tulsa, 10-3.
Iowa State.
Tulsa.
Okay.
Sorry, Brian, which one?
Iowa State.
Tulsa.
Iowa State.
Tulsa.
Okay, Tulsa
then. Iowa State.
Alright, next up is the Chick-fil-A Bowl. LSU at 10-2 versus Clemson 10-2.
I'm sorry, Big Dog. The Chick-fil-A Bowl, where is it again?
The Chick-fil-A Bowl. You know Chick-fil-A?
Oh, the Chick-fil-A, yeah, sorry.
In Atlanta, okay. Georgia.
Oh,
sorry?
Sorry, Brian.
I love that bowl. That's actually one of my favorite games I can go to every year, no matter who's playing. I always go to the Chick-fil-A bowl.
Okay. Cool.
So who are you picking? Are you picking LSU or Clemson?
I'm going to pick LSU. Clemson's losing a lot of their coaches right now, and they're just not a physical team. I think LSU will beat them.
I'll take LSU, even though I like
All
Clemson.
Right. All right, next up is January 1st. These are the bowl games for January 1st. This is the TaxSlayer.com Gator Bowl. Mississippi State at 8-4 versus Northwestern at 9-3.
Northwestern.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Northwestern, too. It's probably the only SEC game that I picked goes the other way. I think Northwestern beats Mississippi State.
Yeah, Cuervo's taking Northwestern as well. And he took LSU in the other game, by the way.
Okay. Next up is the Heart of Dallas Bowl. Purdue at 6-6 versus Oklahoma State at 7-5.
Oklahoma State.
The Cowboys.
All right. Next one is the Capital One Bowl. This is going to be on ABC on January 1st. Georgia 11-2 versus Nebraska 10-3.
Georgia.
Nebraska.
Eight touchdowns.
Oh, I knew he was going to go for that. I'm going for the other team, Nebraska.
Okay. We have the Outback Bowl. South Carolina, 10-2 versus Michigan, 8-4.
South Carolina.
He went North Carolina and I went Michigan.
All right.
Oh, sorry. Went South Carolina.
Okay. Next up is the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl, presented by Vizio. Wisconsin, 8-5 versus Stanford, 11-2.
Stanford.
Stanford.
Okay. We have the Discover Orange Bowl. North Illinois at 12-1 versus Florida State at 11-2.
Florida State, maybe.
Illinois.
Florida State.
Illinois.
Next up is the All-State Sugar Bowl. Louisville at 10-2. Excuse me. Louisville 10-2 versus Florida 11-1.
Florida in an ugly game.
All right, scorekeeper.
I'm sorry I didn't catch that. Tim is going to be leaving us right now. Tim, I apologize that we didn't get a chance to properly introduce you. As always, I hope you have a great holiday, and we'll see you soon. Tim, be safe out there trudging the snow, and feed horse all the Chick-fil-A's you can.
Roger, you're crazy, man.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I mean, he said earlier in the chat room that that's what horse likes, but that's okay.
All
right. So is this the Florida Northern Illinois game, or Florida Louisville game, actually in the Sugar Bowl?
Yeah.
Man, I mean, I'm telling you, I know Florida's going to win, but this is going to be the ugliest offensive game you've ever watched in your life. I think Florida will struggle, too. Their offense is terrible. Louisville's offense will not be able to move the ball on Florida, so this is going to get ugly, guys. Bad matchup.
I'm going to go with the Gators. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what Cuervo said. I'm going to go with the Gators. Matt Alvarez is also going with the Gators. Or the Gators. I don't know which ones.
Next up would be the Tostitos Fiesta Bowl on January 3rd. Oregon at 11-1 versus Kansas State at 11-1.
Best bowl game of the whole bowl. This is the best one, guys. I mean, Oregon is going to beat Kansas State by probably 2 touchdowns, but it's going to be entertaining to watch. Very high-scoring game.
I agree on that one.
As do I. So ditto.
All right. On January 4th will be the AT&T Cotton Bowl. Texas A&M at 10-2 versus Oklahoma at 10-2.
I'm going to pick Texas A&M big in this game. Oklahoma's defense is pathetic, and Texas A&M can't be stopped on offense.
Oh, yeah, I'll go same thing.
Alrighty.
I don't know any
next
better.
Next up on January 5th is the BBVA Compass Bowl, Pittsburgh 6-6 versus Ole Miss 6-6.
So is that again?
Yeah.
What's that?
So what game was that again?
The Compass Bowl. Pittsburgh and Ole Miss both are 6-6.
I'll take the SEC in this one, guys.
Ole Miss, okay.
Yeah, I'll take the other one.
Okay, Pittsburgh. Next up is the GoDaddy.com Bowl. Kent State at 11-2 versus Arkansas at 9-3.
Penn State!
I mean, Kent State.
Arkansas State.
Okay. And, of course, the Discovery BCS National Championship Bowl game, Alabama 12-1 versus Notre Dame 12-0. Let's hear it.
Notre Dame!
Notre Dame! I hate Alabama so much, I have to pick Notre Dame.
That's right. That I should have taken Bama just for the heck of it. But no, I'm sticking with Notre Dame. He's going for the Roll Tide.
Yeah, it should be a good game. I mean, it's going to be one hell of a game. It's actually it's good to see the number one and number two teams against each other. But, it should be a fun game.
Honestly, here, all seriousness, I hate Alabama, but, man, they're going to beat Notre Dame as bad as they want to. I think Notre Dame will be lucky to put up 10 points, and that's lucky. I think Alabama runs all over these guys. It's going to get ugly. And it's like I said, the Fiesta Bowl is the best bowl game, Kansas State and Oregon, and this game is going to be a snoozer.
So why the hell do you go for Notre Dame?
Because I hate Alabama.
I can see that logical thinking. I'm the same way. You know, I can't go for the Celtics. You know, it's whoever's playing against them. That's who I'm going for, even no matter how bad they are.
All right, I'm going Roll Tide. I'm going Bama.
I'm going War Eagle. Auburn's 3-9, and they deserve a bowl game.
Oh, God. All right, good for you, Brian.
All right, folks, so there you have it. Those are all the bowl games. Of course,
thank God.
Bowls start today. So it's going to be those who love college football, this is the best time of the year. Bowl games everywhere.
Good if your team makes a bowl game, it's fine. But when your team sucks, it's hard to watch bowls.
Yeah. I hear you. Hey, so, Brian, how are you doing with the withdrawal, dude? Because, you know, the regular games are not there. Now you're limited on the games and stuff. How are you doing with it? You okay?
The first week was tough. Now that I'm off football for a little while, I feel better. So it doesn't bother me as much now.
I hear you. All right.
Now I'm ready for some lingerie football, though.
Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen. The couch potato did it again. Lingerie football tonight. And if you guys are nice, we may even have the live link for you guys. So we'll see.
Hey, Roger, I listened to the interview last night with the quarterback from Seattle. She sounded hot.
Oh, nah, dude. They are hot. The one that I wanted to talk to was Warren. If you check out my Facebook page, I'm following her. Oh, my goodness. Oh, she's a hottie.
Yeah, and Sonny was wimping out on the interview last night saying he wouldn't want to be hit by her, but I would.
Oh, hell yeah, I know. Oh, Carrie Warren, I think her name is, number 6 in the Seattle Myth.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Great interview, by the way.
Oh, yeah, Sonny did awesome again.
Yeah,
if you guys want to find her, she's number 6, Carrie Bass Warren. Aw, man. Married? Aw. Anyway, she is a hottie. Oh, my God.
I think I'm gonna apply for a job officiating the lingerie league. I officiate every sport, so I think I could get a job doing the lingerie football league.
Yeah, do you know where their numbers are? Their numbers are on their left.
On their ass.
On their butt and on their left breast. So it's just, I mean that's one where. Oh, excuse me, miss. Would you turn around so I can see your number? I gotta tell you. Yeah, oh, there's Sonny. He says all of them are hot. Yeah, but I've already got a crush on Carrie Warren. She is hot. Oh, my God. And Couch Potato tells me, oh, she's going to call in. I'm like, I'm in. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm there for the interview. And then I told everyone earlier, Sonny, how you said about getting the statistics. He tells me on air, all right, so are you going to hit it or am I going to hit it? I was like, is that a trick question, Sonny?
Sonny did that on purpose.
You know, sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't, dude. Because the way we stopped, I think it was right then and there. But hey, you know what? If he did it on purpose, he got me on that one. All I know is that I'm already coming up with some lines that I'll be able to use. So, hey, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Hey, Big Dog, you there?
Of course. Just listening to you guys.
Okay. So what else do you want to get to? I'm going over some of the sports stuff right now.
Well, are we done with baseball, or did you have more baseball news? More signings?
Oh, no, we're
or...
done with baseball. I think I went through almost all of the signings already, at least all of the important ones, Big Dog.
Okay. We could head over to... football. There's a lot of stuff going on with football. You know, Tagliabue, of course, vacated the suspensions.
Yes, please. Let's get to it.
Well, as I said, Tagliabue, of course, has been interviewing and investigating, doing his own investigation, and he pretty much came to the conclusion that he said, yes, there was a bounty, but that it was the managers and coaches that instituted the bounty, not the players, and the players were only following directions or instructions by the coaches so that they were not to be held liable for doing this. So he vacated all the suspensions. I'm actually not sure about the fines. They weren't fined. They were just suspended without pay. So, of course, since their suspensions were vacated, would they then get back pay since you are the labor man? What would that be? Would that be something that should be expected there, scorekeeper?
Well, as a matter of fact, he's probably going to have to put in a claim because one of the players is not even playing. He wasn't picked up by anyone. So he's going to have to file some sort of grievance, you know, because that one's going to be tougher to prove, but he may get some sort of a settlement. They're still talking about some fines going through. But here's the deal, Big Dog. Tagliabue said, just like you said, that the players were instructed to lie by the coaches and to be evasive during the interviews. And as I commented, that, you know, that defense didn't work in Mailai and it didn't work in Nuremberg, where they said, I was just following orders. Those guys got nailed. Why didn't these players get nailed too? All they had to do was tell the truth. When employees and players are caught lying, you know, you got to come down on them. Just because a manager told you to lie doesn't absolve you. Tagliabue blew it on that one, big time. But someone was stating, I don't know if it was Brian or Couch Potato or both, about the fact that Tagliabue doesn't fine anyone. So, you know, go figure. We did lose Brian just a...
Go ahead.
We did lose Brian just a moment ago.
Oh, okay. And, of course, Tagliabue does not like Roger Goodell. They don't get along, so a lot of people are saying maybe this was a kind of FU to Paul Tagliabue, saying, you know, I was the former guy, don't really care for you, so I'm just going to overturn your whatever you had said. Do you think there's any basis to that?
I had not heard that. I really had not heard that. Is this the first time you hear about the Big Dog? Because I did not know that Tagliabue disliked Goodell, because as I understand it, you know, Tagliabue retired. It's not like he was replaced.
What I have been reading over the past, ever since this bounty program had started and they started talking to Tagliabue, I had read that there was no love lost between the two, is usually how they would put it, between Tagliabue and Roger Goodell. Because I guess Tagliabue has tried to give Goodell some advice, I guess, over the years, and was rebuffed by Roger Goodell. So I guess there is no love lost between them. So the fact that they brought in Tagliabue to oversee what Roger Goodell had done, of course, also irked Roger Goodell to no end.
Wow. Yeah, because, you know, he did say that everything in the report was factual, and that's legalese for everything that's in there is correct. It's real. It's fact.
and then he vacated the suspensions, which I just don't get that. If everything is in there, and he caught them lying, and he caught them playing in the bounty system, and just because it was done by the players themselves contributed money. I don't remember which one of the players, but we had the list. Three of the four contributed money, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, that's not I'm following orders. That's telling, you know, the Germans, hey, not only am I in, but I'm buying the bullets.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is maybe the one that did not contribute. There was an interview given on NFL Today during the week. And I can't remember which one of the four players was being interviewed, but he swore up and down that no, there was no bounty, and that at no time was any money ever talked about, put in, taken out, or paid off. He swore up and down that had never ever happened. So I'm not sure which one of the, as I said, I didn't catch the guy, his name, who was giving the interview, but he just swore up and down that technically did the right thing, but that there was no bounty program. Because he was saying that they're still going to try and sue, saying that it was a slander on Roger Goodell's part by saying there was a bounty program. Even though Tagliabue has ruled that, yes, there was, but it wasn't your fault, that's not good enough for some of those players.
Well, he may win the slander suit because it probably wasn't called bounty. It's probably called nail your buddy. So technically, it's not a bounty system.
Yeah.
I don't know, Big Dog. You know, if he's going to sue, good luck, because if the NFL does have the evidence, you know, he's going to lose. And then, the NFL can sue him right back.
Yeah, and I guess the person that's suing is Vilma.
It says here
that Vilma said in a text sent to ESPN that he still intends to pursue his defamation case against Goodell. He said, quote, "I'm pleased that Paul vacated the suspension. If U.S. District Judge Ginger Bergen allows, I now look forward to pursuing my defamation suit against Roger Goodell." End quote.
You see, that dumb idiot probably thought when he said vacated, you know, that was like leaving on a vacation or something, so he thought that was cool, because apparently he didn't read the reports, because I read it, and it was in English, and it says, you're screwed. Plus, if I'm not mistaken, Vilma contributed money, so they didn't make that up, and they've got proof of it. So, oh my God. Good luck, Vilma. Merry Christmas. I hope your suit has merit.
That's true, yeah. It's a whole mess. It's hard to understand. I agree with you, how the fact that Ted Lieu was saying, yes, everything was factual in Goodell's report, but yet you guys are not responsible. I mean, just because, as you said, they took part in it, and then they lied about it, even though they were told to lie. They didn't have to lie. They could have told the truth, but they were told to lie. They did so. They were caught, and yet, you know, they still get off. So,
now, here's Sonny. You know, Sonny is saying in the chat room, the whistleblower is a person who is not to be trusted. That's why Tagliabue stopped it. The whistleblower is not to be trusted. That's why you do an investigation. I disagree with you on that, Sonny. The whistleblower reports something, you have to investigate. You don't believe anything until you find out. And they did their investigation, and they got testimony, that conflicted. They caught him. But all right, whatever. I'm not going to argue with the couch potato.
Yeah, I see what they're saying. It says, new court filings in the Saints linebacker Jonathan Vilma's defamation lawsuit against NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell portray one of Vilma's chief accusers in the league's bounty investigation, former Saints defensive assistant coach Mike Sorello, as unstable. It says, according to the motion filed Friday morning in New Orleans, that the Saints were so concerned about Sorello's stability that Sorello was terminated. Saints head coach Sean Payton was forced to obtain police protection at his house for fear that Cirillo would seek some sort of redemption. So I guess they're going off of that, saying that that Cirillo made this stuff up because of his instability.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
Yeah,
they're guilty.
This is a big mess that's not going to be cleared up for still years to come.
Well, there's going to be some legal action. There's no doubt about it. And, okay. I'm getting breaking news from NBC4 that the names of everyone are being released now over there in Newton, Connecticut.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, here's some baseball stuff. Nah, I don't want to get into that baseball stuff. That's kind of a waste.
Okay.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of stuff here, but it's all immature.
Well, that's us.
Hey, when you look up NHL news, there's nothing. It shows a picture of Donald Fear.
Okay.
There's no NASCAR because the season's over already. But Dodge is leaving and Dale Jr. concussion among worst decisions of the year. Drivers can be excused for making mistakes. They race at speeds that top 200 miles per hour and they're human, so there will be mental lapses here and there. Dude, this is by Bob Pockrass. Bob Pockrass from the Sporting News. Mental lapses? Dude, this isn't a batter that one-fifth of his bats are lost to mental lapses. This is a guy riding 200 miles an hour and he's going to have a mental lapse? Dude, don't cover for him. Whatever. Anyway, Dodge didn't have a contract with Penske for 2013, so Dodge officials thought they had more time to get a deal done. So when they went searching for teams interested in running Dodges in 2013, they found some, including Richard Petty Motorsports and Furniture Row Racing. But they didn't think those programs were good enough to stand on their own, and they decided to just pull out of NASCAR starting next year. That seemed to be a silly move, considering domestic competitors Ford and Chevrolet, not to mention Toyota, still are competing in NASCAR. And now that Penske's Brad Keselowski won the Spring Cup Championship in a Dodge, it's a huge opportunity lost. Oh, that's not good, dude.
No, leave it at Dodge to drop the ball.
Well, it looks like they're going to be out for a little while.
They actually haven't been in NASCAR for that many years. I think they've only been, about 5-7 years they've been running Dodges. But
yeah, well, Big Dog, now we know why Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a loser. He should be applauded, so says Bob Pockrass. It's P-O-C-K-R-A-S-S. Pockrass. I mean, come on. That's P-O-Crass. He should be applauded for finally speaking up about not feeling well after his October 7th wreck at Talladega. But it can go unmentioned that Earnhardt knew he had a concussion after his August 29th wreck in Kansas. He even said that if he had to do it again, he would have sought more medical attention after the accident rather than just mentioning something to his crew chief. The fact that Earnhardt suffered two concussions without NASCAR knowing until he said something is unsettling. Yeah, we all thought he sucked. Paraphrasing NASCAR chairman Brian France, when given the opportunity more than a month later to talk about any evaluation and or potential changes in NASCAR's concussion policies, Earnhardt was downright disturbing.
So, he had a concussion 7 years ago and it's still bothering him?
No. Well, that's what I mean. And he had two wrecks, August 29th at Kansas and August 7th at Talladega, and he didn't report it.
No, I understand that part, but what does that have to do with the past 5 years of him sucking?
Yeah, that's why I kept saying that. Almendinger fails a drug test and he bungles a response. Dude, don't you remember the other guy that got kicked out? A.J. Almendinger failed a June 29th drug test administered by NASCAR. Apparently 2 days earlier, he later said, he took what he thought was an energy pill given to him by a friend of a friend. Way to go, AJ. He said he believes that the pill was Adderall and that is why he failed the drug test. Drivers obviously know they will be tested, and now that they should not ingest anything that they're unsure about. So Allmendinger's taking the pill was dumb, stupid, and stupid, and he admits that. The fact that he didn't talk about that mistake for a few weeks didn't help his cause. It appeared as if he was trying to hide something while his management team talked about trying to figure out if he tested positive for any one of his energy supplements. Way to go, AJ Allmendinger, you're a moron. But a big dog. So,
yes.
If a friend of a friend gives you a pill, aren't you going to ask what it is?
Usually, yes, but I usually don't have anybody giving me medication. But, yeah.
Yeah,
and I'm
he
not
said,
a flappy, so it wouldn't matter anyway.
Yeah. You know, he said, oh, look, my friend's friend gave me a pill. Gee, it's an energy pill. Stupid dumb butt. Oh, my God, that's horrible.
Well, I mean, I guess he did ask. He said it was an energy pill, so I guess he did. He asked what it was.
He's a moron. It's all right. Hey, so do you think Kurt Busch is going to be suspended again? Oh, yes?
For being a professional athlete, yes, he's an idiot for doing that. I'm not going to lie. I mean, I've had friends that have pain medication, and sometimes when I'm out of mine, I will ask them for one of theirs. And I'll say, okay, what are you giving me? And they'll tell me, and I'll say, okay, hi, and I'll just take the pill. Whether or not that's what I'm actually getting, I have no idea, but I am trusting them. So, but as I said, I'm not a professional athlete, so if I take something and it's not what they say it is, I'm not going to, you know. So. But as a professional athlete, huh?
Tanya made a comment right now on City Field of Dreams. It appears Dickie is heading north to Toronto. Details are still being worked out. While we all love Dickie, and many wanted him to stay, one man does not make a team. We root for a team, not just one player. With that said, when this becomes finalized, we wish him the best, and may he kill the Yankees.
She just does not like your Yankees, does she?
Really? I commented on her website right now. We'll just have to see what's going on. Oh, here we go, big dog. Get ready. You're going to hear it right now. So I want to welcome her on right now. Good morning, darling. What's up?
Good morning,
darling. How are you?
Oh, I'm happy for the big dog.
Why?
Well, they actually won yesterday.
That's fine.
That's fine.
I explained last week. I'm not worried till we get everybody in. Once we get everybody in and we still lose, then I'll have problems. But right now we're just right.
You're still wishing for that dream to come true.
Okay, no problem. And if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't, your Clippers still aren't going to win, and we'll still be polishing off our 16 championships at home. So it's okay.
Okay, you said that last year.
And it's still true. The Clippers still haven't won,
on,
and we're still polishing our 16 championships.
Get it, Peter. Come on, big dog.
Huh?
Come on, big dog, admit it.
What's that?
Ain't going to happen no more.
What's not going to happen?
There's no sixth ring coming here in L.A.
Actually, I will make this guarantee. And
it will be here.
We'll bet whatever you want to bet, and I will make this guarantee. The Lakers
Wait,
will win
hold
a championship.
Hold on, big dog.
The Lakers will win a championship before the Clippers. I guarantee
hey.
It.
Hey, yes. Big dog, you owe me dinner to the LeBron.
Yeah, that's fine.
That dinner.
Okay, not a problem. I haven't talked to you in probably months and months and months. I don't think I talked to you. I haven't talked to you since before LeBron won.
No, we fight each other.
Is it true? So that's not a problem. I have no problem paying. But I will make this guarantee, though. Like I said, the Lakers will win a title before the Clippers. Guaranteed.
Hey, let's see.
Okay.
Let's
what would you
see.
Like to bet?
Another dinner.
Okay.
Hey, well, you know, as a matter of fact, if you guys go to, Subway right now, you guys can get 6-inch cold cut sandwiches for $2.
That's not a dinner.
It can be.
No.
I'm going to invite Darlene over again and say,
no.
Darlene, you guys should come on over again and we'll go to Subway.
No, I owe her a dinner. I'm not gonna cheat. I'm not gonna cheap out and take her to a $2 sub. I'm gonna take her to dinner.
You're not gonna cheap out. Is that what you're
not if I owe her. No, if I owe her a dinner, which I do, and I admit I do. I owe her dinner. I'm gonna take her to dinner. I'm not gonna cheap out and take her to a taco stand or something. I'm gonna take her to dinner.
Hey, I want some tacos. I don't mind.
Well, we go like to El Torito or something or Acapulco. That'd be cool.
El Torito.
Okay, well, whatever you kids want to do, you guys can figure it out.
Okay.
But the Clippers are doing very well, as are the Heat. Which is good. I mean, we need that. We need a little bit of disparity in the league. It's good that Golden State's doing great, along with Memphis and a few other teams. So yeah, no problems.
Oh, but dog.
What? I'm not sad. I don't like losing. I mean, yeah, it bothers me that we're losing, but, you know, like I said, we have 2/5 of our starters gone, so I'm just waiting it out.
How about the Lick for the Clippers? They're doing so good. They went straight.
Yeah, they are. They're doing really well. The Clippers are doing very good, in fact. Let's look at the standings right now. In the standings, the Clippers are 16-6, doing very, very well. They've won 8 in a row. The only team that's better, but this is to be expected, is the Oklahoma City Thunder. They're 19-4.
Oklahoma.
Yeah, they've won 10 games straight now. They're starting to run away with it a little bit. And the old guys of the league, the San Antonio Spurs, are still hanging strong. They're 18-6. So the old guys are, That was the San Antonio Spurs.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, and of course on the flip side, you still have the New York Knicks actually doing very well. Everybody, they are the surprise of the league this year, guys. This is what's been expected of them for years and years. They're finally coming through. They're 17-5. They're on top of the East. Followed by Miami at 14-6, tied with Atlanta at 14-6. Milwaukee is 12-9, Brooklyn is 13-9, Chicago is 12-9, Boston is 12-10, and Indiana is 12-11. That's your top 8 teams right now.
Wow.
As I said, on the West, Oklahoma's number 1, San Antonio's number 2 at 18-6. The Clips are number 3 at 16-6. Memphis is number 4 at 14-6. Followed by Golden State, 15-8, Minnesota, 11-9, Utah, 13-11, and Denver, 12-12. Those are your top 8, and we're lounging at the bottom. That's 9, 10, 11. We're in 12th place at 10-14, and we're only 3-7 in our last 10 games. As I said, yes, I am worried, but we're going to make the playoffs. I don't have any doubt of that. And once we're in, that's when you got to look out. Hopefully by then we're going to be stronger, but that's a wait and see. But like I said, everybody's doing good. Oklahoma, the Clips, those ones were expected. The surprise, like I said, is Golden State and New York. And scorekeeper, were you surprised by New York, the way they're playing?
Actually I am. But, you know, every team gets hot from time to time, big dog. So I don't know how long it's going to last.
True. I mean, over the course of an 82-game season, that's where you see towards the end what cream rises to the top and who were just pretenders at the beginning. I don't think Milwaukee and I'm not sure about Brooklyn. Brooklyn's an iffy team. But Brooklyn is surprising right now. I think Brooklyn will make the playoffs, but it'll be a lower seed. And I think Milwaukee will fall off and not make the playoffs once again. They're just hot right now. We'll have to wait and see. Who's beeping?
I don't know. Who beeped?
Well, me.
Who?
I don't know. I'm not sure who beeped, but it's all right. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have a caller right now. We're going to get to them in just a moment. Of course, we were just going over some of the stuff in basketball, which is kind of cool. So, caller, don't forget, let us know who you are and where you hail from. You are live this morning on Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Let's hear it.
Hey, Roger. It's Tanya.
Oh, yes, Tanya. Let's hear it. What's going on?
Not much. How are you?
I'm doing very well. So you got any news on R.A. Dickey?
The only news is no news. It's basically the same thing. Dickey is more than likely headed to Toronto. That deal is pretty much done. The players, the packages that are exact, we still don't know yet. That hasn't been finalized. There's still, like, the medical things that still need to be going over. That's pretty much it. But before this day is over, that thing is done.
Wow.
So what about
okay.
What about the rumors of him heading towards the Angels for Trumbo? Any validity to that?
Not at all. Dickey will more than likely is 99% headed for Toronto to join Jose Reyes. We have a little reunion of sorts.
he can hang with Reyes. So, let's see. Hold on a minute here. To quote-unquote City Field of Dreams, it appears Dickey is heading north to Toronto. Details are still being worked out, as the wonderful Tanya just made clear. While we all love Dickey and many wanted him to stay, one man does not make a team. We root for a team, not just one player. With that said, when this becomes finalized, just as our dear Tanya just said, we wish him the best, and may he kill the Yankees. LOL.
Yes, yes, I have a soft spot for the Yankees. You know that.
A soft spot. That was good. I like that one, Tanya. Want to walk one day at a time in the chat room? That was good. I like that one. All right. So, Big Dog, now we know it's a soft spot. She really has a soft spot for the Yankees.
I am not biased in any way.
No, not whatsoever. Hey, Tanya, so how you doing on a Saturday morning? It's 10:37 over there. How's the weather out in New York?
Chilly and windy.
Yeah.
But it's good because it's nice and sunny. So if you're wearing all black, you're good because that sun just beats down on your clothes.
Oh, okay. What's the weather? I mean, how cold is it weather-wise? What's the temperature?
I think it's like 42 degrees right now.
If
you tell me that it's like 70-something degrees in California, I'm coming out there just to attack you.
Right now it's 45, and our high should be about 65 today. And 45 is starting to get cold for Southern Californians. Once it hits like the high 30s, and that's when everybody starts freaking out.
We love our high 30s, okay? When it comes to winter in New York, high 30s is a blessing. Because once it goes to below zero, that's it. Nobody's going out.
You see,
that wind just whips right through you. That New York wind, I paid the price that one year that I was there. I wore my jacket, and that was about it. I didn't wear anything for my head or a scarf or anything. And I got so sick. It wasn't even funny. It was cold. I think it was probably in the teens most of that week that I was there. So it's a different type of cold day.
Yeah, well, if you have like a full head of hair and it's really thick, you're fine without a hat.
Well, that's what I thought, but evidently not, because I do have a full head of hair that's really thick, but it didn't help. Probably because I wasn't used to that type of cold, though.
No, Big Dog, she was making it clear to me that I do not have a thick mane.
Hey, Darlene. Nothing personal, but you know, you never met me when I had hair. So knowing that you've known me all this time without hair, do you think it makes a difference? Do you think I care whether it's cold or not on top of the old noggin?
No.
Okay,
no.
Okay, well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. But, yeah, Big Dog, Hershey threatens to come over here and beat me up if I say it's 70. And then I threw it over to you, Big Dog, and you pussied out, because I figured you'd say it was 70. So I was saying, I don't need to be threatened on the phone, much less in person.
Raj, I'm going to have to get off for a while. For whatever reason, the power went out. I need to find out what's going on. So I'm going to actually get off the phone because I need to use my phone for a couple of things. So I will be back hopefully in about 5 or 10 minutes.
All right. All right, Big Dog. Appreciate it. Hope it wasn't anything too major.
Right,
ladies and gentlemen.
Let's talk about the Laker, how much we hate them right now.
Yeah, I know, huh? ladies and gentlemen, at times like this, I know Tanya's really going to get a little pissy at this one, but at times like this in Southern California, when it gets this cold, you know, power lines freeze and power does go out in certain places. As, number one, they don't disconnect your power on a Saturday morning. I know that for a fact. It's only done during the week. So it's not that. So it's obviously something weather-related out there. And, you know, people here in Southern California drive so well, they tend to take out power poles, and that tends to kill the stuff, too. But, Tanya, my boy Matt, he wants to know in the chat room, he says, ask her about the Giants.
Which Giants, San Francisco or Big Blue?
I think he's talking about the San Francisco Giants, but he might be talking about the New York Giants. I don't know. But
what about them?
Yeah, what about them? Oh, San Francisco. Okay, yeah. I think the boys got my back, that's why.
What specifically does he want to know about the Giants?
Yeah, come on, Matt. Help out here. What do you want to know about the Giants? Because they've won 2 out of 3 now. And Matt, and for everyone else, you guys know the number. It's 347-637-2306. Or at the top of the chat room, see that little S? Not for the Man of Steel, it's for Skype. You can press that button, call in for free. Yes, I said free. But, ladies and gentlemen, remember, you need to have a mic. We've had listeners that have called in without a mic, and they say they can't talk to us. Well, you need a mic. And you know, if you girls or guys want to put in an M-I-K-E, well, that's your thing. But we need an M-I-C, all right? So maybe Matt will call in. And
what are you spelling, Mickey Mouse?
Well, is that Mark?
Yeah.
How is Mark doing? When do we get to see him again?
We're hoping this week coming up.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, Matt, Tanya. Ooh.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I did not mean that.
It's fine. Yeah, so many people who call in and talk in that chat room, it's easy to get everybody mixed up.
No, thank you. Hey. That was a team. That was an assist. Thank you, Tanya. Matt wants to know if you actually like the team.
Of the San Francisco Giants? They're a good team. Let me tell you, the West is going to be a force to be reckoned with. And here's the thing that I was actually talking about with a couple of other baseball fans earlier this week. The West is actually becoming what the East once was. They're the big spenders. They're the high rollers. They're the ones with the big names, you know. They're doing everything that they need to do to get the job done. The only team who's been doing that on the East Coast are the Blue Jays. Nobody else is really making any moves that are like, oh, my God, did you just see that? They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. No, it's been all Dodgers and Angels.
I appreciate that. Tanya, I want to let you know, and Darlene, that Matt Alvarez, the star from our win from our Friday program is now on. He's on at 1 o'clock. He gives you 2 hours of nothing but wrestling and all sports. Matt Alvarez is now live with us. And he is our... Hey, Matt, have you noticed all the numbers are up, dude? Way up?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Very awesome, dude. But hey,
awesome. And ladies and gentlemen, we do want to thank you and everyone. I want to thank my fellow co-host.
everyone here at NDB Media. Ever since this channel was featured, our numbers are just up, 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 and it's a thrill. People are listening to us for a second and bailing. That helps. That's sweet.
Hey, and I guess she's not the only one that wants to come down there and kill you. I need to come down there and kill both of you, too, because I saw what you guys did earlier in the week. I didn't say anything about it on Facebook, tagging me in these Barney pictures. I'm too old for that crap.
Wow.
You got busted now,
like,
huh? Live
I
on
like
the
that.
Air.
I like
Tanya.
That. Can I have Matt on my show? I want Matt
yeah.
on my show.
Okay. But, Darlene, Tanya, do you know what he's talking about? We tagged Matt on a picture of, what was it, the dragon or Barney?
No, it was Barney. Come on, don't lie.
Someone gave me a picture of Barney tearing up the city, and I forgot what it was. I thought it was funny. And, of course, I thought of my buddy Matt. And I'm like, okay, I'll tag him in there. And that's it. That's all I said. Because I tagged Matt in it, and he got it. That was funny. sorry, Matt, old buddy.
Yeah, sure you're sorry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I am. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, a quick programming note. I want to let everyone know that the Cast Potato program is going to be on this channel on NDB Media 2 following us, but there's going to be a 30-minute intermission, so I ask you to bear with us. The program will be starting at 10:30 a.m. Central or 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. So we're going to be taking a 30-minute break, and then we're going to be going back to the Couch Potato. Just want to let you know that, ladies and gentlemen. It's all good in the hood. We're probably going to go a little bit into the overtime, so if you want to stay on with us, you know what to do. Call in or hit that S button. You know, Skypey thingy, it's free. But you need an M-I-C. K-E-Y-M-O-U-S-E. Oh, geez, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. Hey, so Matt, what's going on? You got Tanya from the East Coast. You know she likes her Mets, and, well, we know you like your Giants. So what's the deal?
Hey, you know, the Mets are okay. You know, they just need to work on a few things.
Okay, well, tell us something we don't already know. It's
yeah.
not just something. They need an entire outfield and a bullpen. And now pitchers and Dickey's gone. So you know what? Matt Harvey will probably fill that spot nicely.
Well, you know,
yeah.
You know, Tanya, I was really expecting Dickey to go on over to the Angels because I really thought that if the Mets were to get Trumbo, all of a sudden having him, Ike Davis, and I'm not sure who that other outfielder is. I mean, that might not be the best in the world, Tanya, but that's actually not too shabby because they're all on the young side.
That would have been nice. I just want to see what's going to happen with Toronto now.
Yeah. Well,
the Angels are going to be a crazy team with Josh Hamilton. Just make sure he doesn't choke in the playoffs. Good luck with that.
Well, you know, I think the only issue for them is genuinely going to be is how many games Hamilton's going to play. If he can play a similar amount of games that he has next year that he has this year, I think the Angels are going to be okay. That team. Because I know you guys didn't catch this earlier, or maybe Matt did. The difference between the Yankees and the Angels, for instance, is the Yankees truly are the Bronx Bombers. They're an all-or-nothing team. They will destroy you during the season, and they do. They're playing three-run, home-run ball. But when you start getting to the playoffs, you're dealing with damn good pitchers all the time. And this all-or-nothing works, but against good pitching, you can beat it. And what the Angels have, I believe, they've got a balanced attack. They've got guys that get on base, hit for high average, and they play the long ball. Oh, and did I forget? They steal bases, too. I really like the Angels, guys. I'm not going to say they look good on paper, but, man, they're assembling an offensive juggernaut over there. Could you imagine if those guys are healthy for a year, all of them? Man.
That's the important thing, and this is what a lot of people don't understand. It's not about just hitting a long ball. It's not just about hitting for average. It's about doing whatever it takes to get on base. Okay, if a pitcher's about to walk you, let him walk you. If you're on base, you steal bases. Okay, you do whatever it takes. to get smoke clears over and to get yourself on base. And that's exactly what the angels understand. And that's what makes the angels so good and a force to be reckoned with. It's not just the great pitching and the great hitting. It's that they do everything right. They can hit singles, doubles, triples, homers. They're an all-around team, and that's what the Yankees don't have.
Yeah, that's right on. Darlene, I know you're a Clipper fan and stuff, but I know you flipped out last time when you came over and I said about dressing Mark in, you know, in Yankee colors, or maybe
no.
Juan did. Yeah, Juan did.
Yeah.
Are you a Dodger, an Angel, or do they have teams in Central America?
No, I'm not into baseball. It's not my sport.
What?
Wow.
I don't know. I don't hate it. I don't like it. It's just I don't pay attention to it that much.
Darlene?
I'm sorry. I always been a basketball, a little bit of football.
That's Darlene, it. You're breaking my heart.
Oh, Mark will love that baseball. Don't worry about that. He will play it too.
Yeah, okay, whatever. Okay, fine. So I have no baseball questions for you. You just go sit in the corner. Keep Mark busy for right now. As you all know, Mark, as you may have heard him in the background, Mark, how old is he now? Is he 2 or 3 months?
He turned 3 months today.
Today. Congratulations, Mark. I'm sorry we woke you up. We have the bad habit of doing that to people. That's what we do here on this sports program. We wake people up for no good reason. Fair enough. I'm sure we'll get to the basketball in a little bit. But right now, some of the situations that are going on, I know we've talked about the baseball stuff. Tanya and Matt, I haven't had a chance to talk to you about this. I understand Paulie is not happy, Paulie Cataldo, about the Yankees signing Uke. I mean, Tanya, you've signed players from your, you know, from your arch nemesis, you know, whichever team that could be. do you think this is a big deal? I mean, honestly, I mean, Uke is the seventh player to be signed by the Yankees from the 2004 championship team. What's the problem?
Money talks. You're offered a contract, you're getting paid, then, yeah, you sign with whoever's going to pay you. My problem with all these Red Sox players signing with the Yankees is that once upon a time, they're like, oh, I would never sign with the evil empire. That's exactly what they did. Before you talk, can you say about shut your face? That's my advice to every Boston Red Sox player. And then, secondly, it's a smart move for Youkilis. It's a stupid move for the Yankees because they're paying him, what, $13 million for 1 year? A-Rod's going to be back after probably the All-Star break. But the All-Star break, A-Rod should be back. And then you're hardly ever going to get any playing time. So you're basically paying $13 million for a guy who's going to play 3-4 months, and that's it. So yeah, and he's not getting any younger, you know. And that's what makes the Yankees stupid right now. The fact that they're getting older instead of getting younger. They're trying to build a team to win now, and it's not working. It's not happening.
Yeah, you know, Tanya, I didn't think about it that way. Uke is 33. The Yankees are getting older. And, you know, when you look at the Giants, they made one big deal last year when they picked up Ryan Thoreau, and it's still they went to the championship, and now the Giants are doing the right thing. They're mixing in the younger people. Matt, as a Giants fan, noticing that you have the Dodgers and indirectly the Angels, because, guys, like I said, Interleague is here to play. There will be an Interleague game every day of the week. There's no such thing as the June and July, early August Interleague. It's all the time now. So you're basically fighting against the Angels now, Matt, as well. What are the Giants' chances against the Dodgers?
Well, our chances, are very good because, as you said, we've been mixing all the younger players in there with the older players. The older players are out there teaching them what to do and how to do it. If you saw the World Series, you saw one of the young guys just stand there in the fifth inning, and he was on second base, and they weren't expecting a pitch hitter, but a pitch hitter went out there, and he hit the ball. But before that, one of the younger guys had ran off and stolen third base. and the Dodgers were like, the hell? How the hell did he do that? That's because we're smart. They're a smart team. They know what to do. They know how to get it done, and that's why they're the world champions.
Yeah. You know, Matt, I would have accepted Rod. We're world champs 2 out of 3 years. Right, Tanya? And he could brag about that, and we would just have to walk away, huh?
Pretty much. But you know what? I'm happy for the choice. Happy the choice for last year. Good job.
Bye, Don. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind everyone that we're down to about 5 minutes. And I know that a few people are making their way out to take care of some stuff. I know that we are going to be going live in about 30 minutes with the Couch Potato. So it's going to be some good stuff. We're going to be breaking down the football games for this week. There's a lot of NFL going on. Tanya, we didn't know whether Matt was talking about the Giants in the NHL or in the NFL. Tell us, how are the Giants doing with Eli? Because I'm not sure if that's your team or if it's the Patriots. I forget.
Those are fighting words. I'm all about Big Blue. Okay. All about Big Blue. The Patriots, they can't hold a candle to Big Blue. Why? Because Big Blue kicked their butt in 2 Super Bowls. So,
It is. Let me tell you, and remember, last year the Giants were the ones that stopped the Green Bay kids. It's not because they had an awesome defense, it's just they had a better defense, and that's all that mattered. They won again. My wife and I have been privileged to watch the Patriots lose to the Giants. And if I remember correctly, the Patriots had both games in the bag, right, Matt? Up until, like, the last minute?
Yeah, up until the last minute, they had it. And then I don't know what happened. It's just like they dropped the ball. Not literally, but figuratively as a team. They dropped the ball. And I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, Big Dog, you're back. What's going on, dude?
The hell?
Oh, we lost him again. Sorry. I don't know what's going to... I guess he's having some power issues.
Oh, that's
all right. Hey, guys, so the holiday's coming up. What are you guys doing for your holiday, man? Any major plans? Darlene?
No idea yet.
Okay, you guys coming over?
We're still here.
Oh, yeah? Are you going anywhere, Tanya?
I will be heading. My parents are going for Christmas Eve, hopefully. And then we're going to the house, to their house in Pennsylvania on Christmas Day.
That's cool. When you go over there, how do you get there? Do you go by train or do you drive?
Well, fortunately, the train that was supposed to be built like 15 years ago still hasn't been built. So
okay.
My dad says Bill will be over here. He'll drive. But usually, if I go by myself, I take a bus.
Oh, okay. How long does that take?
An hour and a half.
Oh, that's not too bad. That's not bad at all. Hey, Matt.
Yeah.
Okay. So what are your plans, dude? Because it looks like we're staying home.
You know, I have no clue. I haven't even done Christmas shopping yet. I always say, every year you hear me say it, I'm going to do Christmas shopping hecka early. And I never get it done. And I don't know, because I don't know if I'm going out of town or not, because nobody called me. So I don't know what the deal is.
Oh.
But I'm still going to buy Christmas presents.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is, Matt Albert. I tell you, he needs the invite. And Big Dog, we're 90 seconds. What are your plans for the holiday? Oh, we lost him again. What the hell?
Ah, terrible. Hey, Tanya, when do you come on?
What happened?
I said, what day do you come on Blog Talk Radio to do your show?
Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, I'll have to look for that, see if I'm available to be on your show.
That's at 6 o'clock, Matt. That's at 6 o'clock. She's on right before us when we do our Tuesday night in America on the flagship channel. She's on same channel as yours, just right before us. It's kind of cool. We go from sports to whatever.
Nice. To whatever, that's what you call it.
Hey, that's Tuesday night in America, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, guys, I want to thank Darlene for calling in, of course, Brian. Of course, the Big Dog, we're having issues with the Big Dog. Tanya, thank you. I know it's actually, it's about 11 o'clock over there.
Matt, thanks for calling in. Don't forget to catch Tanya at 6 p.m. on Tuesdays on this channel. And, of course, Matt at 1 p.m. on this channel on Fridays. And, of course, we're always on every Saturday morning. Lots of stuff going on. And on Twitter.com/NDB Media. You guys, have a great holiday. And we're not forgetting, as we began this program, we are holding honor and we are holding silence for those in China and for those in Connecticut. We mourn with you and we are with you. And we are so sorry for your loss. Ladies and gentlemen, this is NDB Media on Saturday morning. Thank you very much and enjoy your day as best you can.